I'm going to be speaking and starting with out of James chapter 1. So if you have a Bible and want to turn to James chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 12 through 20 of James chapter 1. And we end at 10:40 or 45? 45. 45? Okay. So here's the word of our Lord in James chapter 1, starting at verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. I'll tell you ahead right away that the choice for the topic for this lesson has nothing to do with some intimate knowledge that I have of you, but I have an intimate knowledge of human nature. And if you are humans, which you are, you struggle with the very thing that we're going to be talking about here this morning. Now, stress and anger are two words that are in everybody's vocabulary. Nobody goes through their lives without talking about those two things, experiencing those two things. We have either been the object of anger, that's people have been angry at us, or we've been the subject of anger, people have been angry at other people. So we are all very familiar with the idea of anger. But both stress and anger are things that damage us and damage our relationship with God and with one another. And the scriptures speak a lot, say a lot concerning anger and the related subject of stress. And that's what we're going to be addressing, talking about for the next few minutes this morning. Now, sometimes it's right and sometimes it's wrong to be angry. I'll ask this question, you don't have to answer, I just want you to think about for like 3 seconds. Is it always sin to be angry? Is it always sin to be angry? Well, some believe that it's always sin to be angry, and others believe that it's never sin to be angry as long as it's not directed to them. Now, it is never sin when they are angry, and they're okay with that. Well, the truth of the matter is that anger is most times sinful and sometimes not. And that's the balance that the scriptures give us. I wanted to read 5 or 6 passages without making any comments on them. And I want you to listen to them and see how the scriptures speak of anger both as a righteous emotion, but also as an unrighteous emotion. Okay? I'll start with Ephesians 4:31, where Paul says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Is that righteous or negative of sinful anger?
Sinful.
Oh, thank you, Amy. Colossians 3:8. "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." Right? No. Sinful. Right? Acts 17:16. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked," the word there is furious, "within him when he saw the city was given over to idols." Okay. Righteous. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 11. I'll start with verse 11, actually. "For observe these very things, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, What vindication in all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. So Paul says that there were great indignation, great anger in the Corinthians. Was that a sinful anger or a righteous anger in this context we just read? Mrs. Wilson. Yes. Righteous. Yes, he's praising them for it. Two more. Psalm 7:11. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Righteous is sinful. Righteous. Why, Joan? It's simple. Sunday school answer would work.
A Sunday school answer?
Yeah. Because it's God.
Because it's God.
Exactly. Yes. And God doesn't sin. So if he's
angry. Money changers out of the temple. Yeah. Was that anger? Or
yeah.
Was that...
Well, but in this passage, it's God who's angry, right? It's explicit like that. So God doesn't sin. So
God
it's
is righteous.
Righteous. Then last one, Exodus 4:14. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Good again for the same reason, right? So these passages make it clear that anger is not intrinsically wrong because God is angry. As a matter of fact, God is probably the angriest being in existence. And I wonder, you know, later on we can address how that strikes you. But God is the angriest being in the universe because he's also the most loving being in the universe. And out of love, he has to be angry against anything that's opposed to his law. Yet there must be something that makes anger sinful. Is that fair to say? That there's something that makes anger sinful. So anger by itself is neutral. It's just a response of the heart. But there's something then that makes that anger directed something sinful or something righteous. And that something is the attitude of the heart. Why is it that you are angry? Why is it that I am angry? It determines whether your anger is righteous or if your anger is sinful. So, time allowing, I wanted to look at 8 ways to figure out if your anger is sinful, if our anger is sinful. What are the motivations that are in our hearts that will cause us to be sinfully angry or righteously angry? And I'll tell you right off the bat, the first one is going to be the longest of the 8, so don't think, man, we're going to be here forever, because the number one's taking so much time. But our anger is sinful when we become angry because of selfishness on our part. And I'll say that that's probably the most common motivation for anger. Selfishness on our part. Remember Cain's anger in Genesis chapter 4? He was angry at his brother because of selfishness and jealousy. Remember the story? They both offer a sacrifice. Some people want to say that the reason that God accepted Abel's sacrifice is because it was a blood sacrifice and Cain was a grain sacrifice. The passage doesn't say that. The New Testament doesn't say that. It was simply because of the attitude of their hearts. Abel came with the right attitude. Cain came with the wrong attitude. And his anger was caused by his offering being rejected by God. That's selfishness. And his brothers being accepted by God. That was jealousy. And that's what motivated his anger. And remember that God comes to him and says, look, sin is crouching at the door, like he's ready to pounce on you as you conduct yourself in this anger. So when we become angry because someone else is receiving attention or appreciation that we're not, that is sinful anger. Have you ever been at a birthday party? I was a school principal, a K-8 school principal for 6.5 years. And parents always would want to do little birthday parties at school, you know, at the end of the period, and it was always a nightmare. But we went along with that. And, you know, you could come and you take the kids out for a little bit, give a few minutes for the parents to decorate the room, and they have balloons and little treats for everybody, and the birthday boy or birthday girl gets a bigger treat, and they maybe even put a crown on the birthday boy or the birthday girl. And invariably, there was that little kid who, even though had gotten a little party treat, was very angry that his party treat wasn't as big as the birthday boy's party treat. The point that he couldn't enjoy the thing that was given to him because all he could think about is that how did he get that big bag and I got this smaller bag? Often we view our lives as a school birthday party, and we tend to get angry at people because they got something that we thought we should have gotten, or they got something that we thought was better than what we got. Remember, the scriptures tell us to do what when people are rejoicing, when people are blessed, when God pours out His blessings upon them. What is it we're supposed to do? Rejoice, yes, rejoice with those that rejoice. I think we are naturally good at weeping with those that weep. But remember, the verse starts with rejoice with those that rejoice. Be happy for the blessings of God upon people's lives, independently of how your life is going. We have a hard time rejoicing with people when our life stinks. Right? We are okay rejoicing with people as long as the Lord is blessing me too. But that there's no qualification in Romans 13, 12 and 13. Only tells us to rejoice with those that rejoice, regardless of what God is doing in our lives. Remember Ahab, the king? Remember how he wanted Naboth's vineyard? And Naboth said, the law of God forbids me from selling this vineyard to you. Remember, the law of God said that the property would have stayed within the same tribe. And Ahab and Naboth were from two different tribes. And Naboth says, oh, so I can't obey God and sell this to you. And in 1 Kings 21:4, then we read, so Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. Ahab became sinfully angry because he didn't get what he wanted. He couldn't get the property from Naboth. He went home depressed and angry because he wanted something that belonged to someone else, selfishly, sinfully, and he didn't get it. He was angry because he was denied the vineyard that his heart coveted and that he thought he had a right to. Now, how often do we become angry because what we think are our rights are denied? Have you ever been angry because, you know, you thought, you know, this is my right and yet somebody's keeping that from me? And I can be angry with them because they're keeping what I think is rightfully mine. Well, the point is, we have no rights. The only right we have is to eternity in hell. Anything beyond that is bonus. It's grace. It's undeserved, it's unmerited favor, it's undeserved gift of God. As a matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, that he is happy to give up all his rights if that means that someone is going to come to believe in Jesus Christ through that self-denial. Anger is always an expression of what we treasure in our hearts. And anger is always an expression of that treasure being threatened. We feel like that treasure is being threatened, so we need to respond. And anger is the result. So whatever you treasure in your heart is going to motivate your anger. And if you treasure anything other than Christ, that anger response is always going to be sinful. Are you with me on that? Do you understand what I'm saying here? You good with it, Luke?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad. We have parents here in the room, and, you know, from experience, it's really easy to get angry with our children when they don't obey us. And it may not even be necessarily an idea of sin or righteousness, but when our children, who we think are supposed to obey and show respect to their parents, which they are, and they don't obey us for some reason, or don't do things exactly like we want them to do, we have a tendency to get angry with them. But often it's not because they sin against God. I think we're honest with ourselves, we will recognize that we are rarely angry because God was sinned against. We're rarely angry because people have other gods before the true God. We're rarely angry because people worship idols. We're rarely angry because God's name is taken in vain. We're rarely angry because the Sabbath day is being desecrated. We tend to be angry when people do something that we deem to be against us, including our children. How dare them defy the commands of the big boss of the house? They must be punished and suffer, not because they sinned against the true God of the Bible, but because they defied the boss of the house and their rights are being denied. And that's sinful anger. Why is it that we discipline our children and disobey us? Because we know that in disobeying us, they disobeyed God. Any other motivation is sinful from our part. Remember the story of Herodias and John the Baptist? When Herod thought that, Herod was super worried about who Jesus was, and he thought that Jesus was the reincarnation of John the Baptist, because he had beheaded John the Baptist at the urging of his wife Herodias. John the Baptist had challenged Herod and said, "Hey, you can't marry Herodias. She's your brother's wife." A little bit of a problem there. And yet Herod refused to hear and married Herodias anyway. And the anger that Herodias had towards John the Baptist ended up getting him killed. Talk about a demonstration of what Jesus says, that the anger in our heart is murder. It translated into actual murder with Herodias because of her sinful, selfish anger. That's motivation number one. Anger is selfish. Anger is sinful when it's based on selfish motivation. Any questions on that? All right. Motivation number two. The second way to figure out if your anger is sinful is if we allow our anger to control us. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." So he who can control his anger is a righteous person. Proverbs 25, 28, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." What would happen in the ancient world if a city didn't have walls? Enemies could ransack it anytime they wanted. There was no protection. And that's what a person who is controlled by his or her anger is. How often have you heard it said, or maybe even said yourself, the words, "I was so angry, I just couldn't help myself"? Well, what is the person saying when they say that? "I was so angry, I just couldn't help myself." In reality, they are excusing themselves for being out of control and from the actions that resulted from their anger. Now, they are claiming to no responsibility for what they did because they were at the mercy of their anger. And yet, anger doesn't sin. You sin. Sin doesn't reside somewhere else besides your heart, besides my heart, besides the heart of the person. So anger doesn't make us do anything, and yet we can get out of control when you're angry. If that's the case, that shows you that anger is sinful. So anytime we allow anger to control ourselves, we are sinning. Number three, our anger is sinful when it becomes the dominant feature of our life. Do you remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? Is, because it's singular. Know what the fruit of the Spirit is?
Love.
Good. Got one. Patience. What else?
Joy.
Peace.
Goodness.
Self-control.
Meekness.
No, you're adding to. That's it. That's it. Jonas, let's say every good word in the Bible and put it in this category. Yeah. And what, in the context of Galatians 5, what is the fruit of the Spirit? What is Paul saying about the fruit of the Spirit in relation to the Christian? He's saying that those things should characterize us. Right? People should look at us as believers in Jesus Christ and should see love and self-control and patience and peace, and so on. Was any of the fruit, anger? No. So anger is not a quality by which you can be known, or must be known, as a Christian. And if that's what people, that's how people think of you as an angry person, then it's a good indication that your anger is sinful. If other people, the people around you, if their first impression is that we are touchy, irritable, or easily annoyed when we have a problem with, when we have a problem, then our anger is sinful. And we find that people seem to be constantly tiptoeing around us. It could be an indication that we have a chronic problem with sinful anger. So if you're known as an angry person, you have a serious issue of the heart that needs to be repented of and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ that He might change you and have you be known by the actual fruit of the Spirit instead of the fruit of the flesh in that particular time. This is what the scriptures say concerning people who are known or are always angry. In Proverbs 19:19, it says, "A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescued him, you have to do it again." In essence, Proverbs encouraging the covenant people of God to not have anything to do with an angry person, a person who is known as just an angry person who is always reacting to everything in anger. But we're really good at using words, and we sometimes think that if we don't use the particular word, in this case anger, then we can excuse whatever it is that we're going through. I'm not angry, I'm just frustrated. Have you ever said that? I'm not angry, I'm just annoyed. I'm not angry, I'm distressed. All those are anger. You can put anger on top and put all those words under it. And then, so if you're annoyed, if you're known as a person who is easily frustrated, easily annoyed, easily stressed, look at your heart. You are struggling with sinful anger. And the body of Christ, the covenant people of God, are called to not have anything to do with you. In Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." Anger, chronic anger is often a contagious sin. We spend a lot of time with an angry person, we tend to start exhibiting the same sort of characteristics there as well. And for some people, controlling anger is a lifelong struggle. But the struggle is good. The struggle means that you're actually fighting sin in your life. Any thoughts or questions on that reason number, or the number three way to figure out if your anger is sinful? All right, number four. Our anger is sinful when it involves brooding or fretting. Now, these are words we don't use very often. Fretting is not a word that we use often anymore. But they are common reactions when something happens that we did not want to happen, or when something does not happen that we want to happen. Psalm 37 is known as a fretter's psalm because it uses the word fret several times. For example, in verse 1 of Psalm 37 says, "Do not fret because evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity." Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." And why is it that we shouldn't fret? Why is it that we shouldn't brood? I'm going to show how those are qualities of anger in a moment. Because in verse says, it only causes harm. To fret or brood only causes harm to you and to people around you. To fret means to constantly think through distressing events in one's mind while giving those events a negative slant. It's thinking about what's going on in your life in a very negative way, and every time you take a pass at the event, it becomes worse, more and more negative. And in this spiral of going down, fretting involves churning your displeasure into anger. It involves constantly dwelling on some personal slight until what started as a small annoyance is built up into an enormous offense. And people who may have struggled with what's been labeled OCD will even struggle more with that. The idea of something happens and they start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. By the end of the day, what was a minor thing becomes this huge monster that he or she is now very angry about. And that's why Paul says, be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So that's number four. Any questions on that? Number five, our anger is sinful when we keep a running record of how we have been mistreated. Leviticus 19 is a passage that Jesus uses to summarize the Bible. Remember when Jesus is asked by the lawyer trying to catch him on his word and says, Jesus, what's the Bible all about? What is the most important commandment? And Jesus says, well, there's only two of them. You can hang all the law and the prophets. Everything the Bible says can be categorized into these two drawers here. Love the Lord with your whole mind, your whole soul, strength, body, every ounce of your being. That's drawer number one. And drawer number two, you can love your neighbor as yourself. The whole Bible is categorized under that. The second part, love your neighbor as yourself, comes from no other book than Leviticus, the book that the most Christians are not super fond of reading through. And Leviticus 19, the Lord says, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, anger is sinful when we keep a running record of how we have been mistreated. Again, when I was the principal of Heritage Christian School, I had this class where the girls were really mean to one another. And as a principal, it's always easier to deal with the problem between the boys. Okay? Because the worst thing they would do is they would punch each other at recess, and that would be over and done. We're done. The girls, never that simple. So I've been working with this group for years, and they're in seventh grade now. And we are talking, and one of the girls finally turns to one another and says to her, to the other, when we were in kindergarten, you did this and this and this and this. And from 6 years later, she's holding that grudge, and that's shaping everything that they are doing. Well, when we're doing that, then your anger is definitely sinful. When you're keeping records. I also counseled a couple that came for me from outside of the church, and they came in, and the wife literally, you know those lab notebooks that are white and black on the front? You know what I'm talking about? They're not spiral bound, but they're like glued together. Is that what it's called? I use for lab, so I don't know. She handed me a, she put on my desk a stack of those. This is everything my husband's ever done wrong. Personally. It wasn't so sad. It's a really funny story, right? It's real. I think there's a problem with that woman's anger, don't you think? But we are good at keeping track of what people have done to us. You've heard the expression that we want grace towards us and justice towards everybody else. And we want to be the ones that enforce that justice by keeping track of everything that is done. When that's our motivation for being angry, then there's a problem. We're sinfully angry. Keeping record of wrongs lead quickly to bitterness. And Hebrews chapter 12, 15 tells us that letting a root of bitterness grow in our hearts is a first step towards abandoning Christ. And we have to be careful about that. The bitterness will defile ourselves. It will defile others around us. Some have said that bitterness is the poison we take, hoping that others will die. And it never works that way. Parents whose bitterness against other people are present in the house, they destroy the kids. And they grow in an environment where it only teaches them to be bitter as well. The bitterness allows the devil to gain foothold in our lives and our children's lives. And the Bible, guys, the Bible indicates that bitterness is a special problem for husbands towards their wives. Even though the only example in real life I have is of a wife toward a husband. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, when Paul is instructing husbands, he says, husbands, love your wives. And then he adds something that he didn't add in Ephesians 5. And do not be bitter toward them. And because that's a general warning that Paul gives to husbands, we understand then that something that husbands tend to struggle toward, with towards their wives. So our anger is sinful when we keep a running record of how we have been mistreated. God doesn't do that toward us. When He forgives us, He forgives us. And it's not that He forgets. No, the idea of forgive and forget is not biblical. Sounds good and may give you the warm and fuzzies, but it's not in the Bible. Right? When somebody sins against you, there's no forgetting, especially if that's a very serious sin. But forgiveness is refusing to use that against them, to count that against them. That's what God does towards us. And that's the same forgiveness that we're to extend towards people. What we call the Lord's Prayer. Remember the petition? Forgive us how? Forgive us our trespasses as we do what? Yeah, so that's a dangerous prayer. Lord, use the same standard I use to forgive people to forgive me. So, the way I forgive my husband, the way I forgive my wife, the way I forgive my children, the way I forgive my siblings, the way I forgive the people in the church, the way I forgive my community, that's the standard I want you to use to forgive me. Often, we hope that God doesn't answer that prayer. Isn't that the truth? We don't want our standard to be what, but that's the standard that God gives. So if we are keeping track of what people are doing against us, and just thinking about that, and going over that in our minds, then there's something wrong with your heart, and your anger is sinful. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, number 6. Our anger is sinful when we pretend that we're not angry. Are you angry? I'm not angry. I'm just annoyed or frustrated. Have you ever come? I know you'll never do that, but you know people will do that, right? Yeah. Paul says in Ephesians 4:25, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. When we are angry but refuse to recognize that, we are doing what? When we're saying something that's not true, what are we doing? Lying, yes. And that's sinful. So our anger is sinful when we pretend that we are not angry. Our spouse or a friend comes to us and asks if there's something wrong, and we answer that there's nothing wrong when we are very angry or angry at all. So we are handling our anger sinfully whenever we justify our bitterness and resentment, or when we pretend that we are not angry. To control my anger, for you to control your anger, I must first recognize that I'm angry. If I refuse to recognize that I'm angry, I cannot get over it. Are you with me on that one? If I'm not willing to recognize that I'm angry, I cannot deal with my anger in a biblical way. So we need to stop playing games if we're angry and just recognize that I'm angry. For example, I get angry at Amy. And I really mean to say some mean things to her. And then the Spirit convicts me, and I'm going to ask her to forgive, confess, and ask her to forgive. I shouldn't say, Amy, I'm really sorry for what I said last night. I really didn't mean it. It was just anger talking. I would say, Amy, I'm so sorry for actually believing those things against you. That's not true. And because anger doesn't cause us to do things. It just removes the walls out of their hearts and let the heart manifest. Anger has the same effect on us as alcohol does. It just brings our guard down and allows whatever is in our hearts to come out. So I'm not apologizing to Amy for what the anger said. I'm apologizing for what I actually believed in my heart concerning her that might have been wrong. Go ahead.
Well, if I'm in a situation where I'm angry and my husband might say, ask me if I'm angry, and I might say no because I don't want to get into it. I want to just, I know I'm being wrong and I need to just deal with it.
Amy, are you angry? Yes. But the Spirit is already working in me. Just give me some space to deal with it, and we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So you're still accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish, but you're being honest in the process. Okay, way number 7. Our anger is sinful when we return evil for evil or attack the person with whom we are angry. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is known at once. So our anger is sinful when we return evil for evil or attack the person with whom we are angry. And when this kind of person is angry, everyone knows it immediately, because he or she cannot contain their anger. They give vent to their anger as soon as they feel it, and they do it in one of three ways. They either express their anger verbally, you know, by attacking somebody or yelling at somebody, or they express their anger passively by just retreating into silence whenever they're upset. So you either have, like Mount St. Helens, blowing up, destroying everything around them, or you have the simmering under the surface that eventually will produce the big one, the massive earthquake that's going to destroy everything. Or some express their anger physically, by actually physically attacking somebody. This used to be statistically the domain of husbands and fathers, but that's no longer the case. In a culture that gender identity and issues have become so fuzzy and confused, even sinful patterns have changed through the years. And lastly, as we finish, our anger is sinful when we attack or hurt a substitute. What do I mean by that? Secular psychologists and psychiatrists, even Christian ones, encourage you to take your anger with somebody at something else. Pretend, this sounds like a joke, but it's not. This is actually in serious psychological and psychiatric literature. This counselor hands you a pillow and said, pretend this pillow is your wife. And just take your anger on that pillow till you feel better. And the person just wails at the pillow and then, oh, okay, phew, I feel better now. And, oh, it's resolved, because now nobody's getting hurt except for the pillow. And now the guy's not going to go kill his wife and so on. But what did the scriptures say concerning anger in our hearts? Remember what our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5? That when you're angry in your hearts towards those around you, what are you doing to them? You're murdering them, whether you're beating up the pillow or the person. Though it's still even more wrong to beat up the person, the anger in your heart is murder towards them. Again, not a joke, because it's so absurd. It sounds like a joke. There's a group, a support group in Washington, around Tacoma, for men's only. They go for men's weekends in the woods, and they have little men sing, they have fires and steak, and then they go chop trees. And they encourage to think of the trees as their wives, and they're supposed to take all their frustration that they have with their wives on the tree, so they can come back home having gone through this, what's the word, catharsis? This purging, and they're ready to be good, godly husbands, a Christian support group. That is not how the Bible tells us to deal with our anger. Our anger is sinful when we take it on somebody else. And that's why venting is not a proper way to deal with anger. You know, somebody coming to you, I just want to vent about something. You say, no, the Bible calls it gossip. It does not do that, and it does not solve anything. There goes the mic. So we cannot take our anger on a substitute. That's not dealing with it properly. And if that's how you deal with your anger, that's a good sign that your anger is sinful. And now we came to the way how you actually fix it, and that's going to be for another time when the prosecutors go back to Hawaii in 7 years from now. Any last questions or comments before we close? Yes? Well, a mass shooter or a single shooter is still a murderer, right? So it's just a different quantity, not quality. So,
you can take the anger out of
sure, yeah, pain. Yeah, yeah. But so does hateful speech, right? Let's be careful not to identify anger with a struggle we don't have. I hope none of us are mass shooters, right? But if our hateful speech towards people is also indication of that anger. Dave?
Do you know why I get so angry with my wife?
Because she's perfect and you're not. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that righteous?
It's unrighteous. Yes. Especially because you're not God. All right. We'll pray and then we'll dismiss.